So last time I explained if we have a factorization algebra on Rn, and I consider the symmetry where lambda of x is just lambda times x, then I can pull back my factorization algebra by lambda. And this is a flow on the space of factorization algebras. And this is the normalization group flow. And it's a kind of a very important thing to study in quantum field theory. And this language is very simple. Its description is very simple. So last time we computed this, we gave for the phi to the 4 theory. But the computation was a bit involved. It had a couple of intermediate steps. So today, I want to give a more direct computation. By using the Poisson version of factorization algebras. So I'll focus mostly on scalar field theory, just like we did last time, but most of what I say will generalize to any field theory. So consider the classical observables. Of some theory. So what does this mean? Well, it's kind of, I won't go into too much detail because it's very much along the same line of the kind of thing we discussed before. So the classical observables is a derived version of functions on fields on U modulo the equations of motion. So for a free field theory, we wrote down explicitly the space of quantum observables as a cochain complex. And this guy is just a certain limit as h bar goes to 0 of that cochain complex. So we're interested in if x is an element of U, so we want to consider the classical observables which live at x, which is going to be the intersection of the classical observables on all opens containing x. So this is what Tudor called in his talk, he called this the local operators, and he called it ops. So we're just using reflecting one of the letters.
So for a scalar field theory, so for a free scalar field theory on Rn,
well, what observables do I have? Last time we talked about OF of phi is the integral of F times phi over U, where F is a compactly supported smooth function on U. So here, we can allow F to be a distribution. So working classically, there's no problems with that. And if we think about what kind of things will live in the intersection of all opens, well, F must be a distribution supported at X. At the point X in U. So that this means that F must be given by derivatives of the delta function. They're the only distributions supported at this point. They're just derivatives of the delta function. So imposing the equations of motion, we've always done this homologically. The differential that we introduced before of O star G is O Laplacian G. So if we want, if G is also supported at X, then so we find the observables, we find at the level of cohomology, that we can, any distribution, if I take a distribution with the derivatives of the delta function, and if it is in the image of the Laplacian, then it's zero. So let's write this a little more formally. So I'm going to write D, say D zero, to be the polynomials in DX1 up to DXn, and we have found that the observables, so the cohomology observables is the symmetric algebra, sorry, local, like what Tudor called local operators, again, living at a point, is the symmetric algebra of D0 modulo the Laplacian. So any questions about this description?
Can you just remind us that the quantum observables were computed by this complex, the ups and upstars, where the differential had two terms?
Yes.
That's right. You wrote down, and then the sort of pairing between the ups and the...
That's right. So I'll write out the formula. So the quantum level, we had like D of O star G, was like 1 over h bar O Laplacian of G, and D of O F O G star was 1 times the integral of F G. So the classical differential, I'm going to multiply by h bar. So I'll call this, say, quantum.
So the classical differential one, we're just going to write d in this talk, d classical, is the limit as h bar goes to 0 of h bar times the quantum one. So that drops this second term, and I just have the term here, which gets rid of things which are in the image of the Laplacian. No, I mean, we you know, the quantum thing is it's a module over a Laurent series in H bar.
Okay.
So there's an element of the field, and it's just a change of basis. It's not, you know, there's, you know, if I have a module over a Laurent series in H bar, there is more than one lattice inside it, which is a module over a Power series in H bar. And we're choosing a particular one. Okay. So what happens? So for example, so another way, so an alternate description of this algebra, which is going to be convenient. So this classical observables at a point, I'm going to take my point to be the origin, as we've seen, it's S star D constant coefficient differential operators modulo the Laplacian. So what is this? Well, this is a commutative algebra with n commuting derivations. And as an object like this, it is generated by one element, which is what I call O of delta or something like that, which sends phi to phi 0, subject to the relation that sum del x I squared O delta is equal to 0. Right. So I take the universal commutative algebra with n commuting derivations generated by one element, and I ask that this relation holds, and this is what you will find. So for people who like the language of, you know, dx algebraic geometry, this is all very trivial. So if we have an interactive theory, e.g. 5.4, it's easy to see that the classical observables at a point is generated in this sense by one operator with the relation that if I apply, well, the relation is of course going to be the equations of motion. If I apply the Laplacian to it, plus O cubed, it's 0. So today, what I want to talk about is a structure on this space
which is analogous to the Poisson bracket. We'll show that this space has a kind of Poisson bracket. So before we get there, let me remind you guys how deformation quantization works. So if we have some quantum mechanical system, or say a classical mechanical system, with algebra of operators A, and because it's classical, A is commutative, then this algebra, this guy has a Poisson bracket, defined as follows. We let A hat be the non-commutative quantum algebra of observables, which we take to be defined modulo h bar squared. So how do I define this bracket? If I have two elements in my classical algebra, we let alpha hat, beta hat be lifts of these guys to A hat, then there's this famous formula that the Poisson bracket of alpha and beta is the limit as h bar goes to 0 of 1 over h bar times the commutator of alpha hat and beta hat. Okay. So I hope most people are familiar with this. The reason this formula makes sense is the commutator, this is equal to 0 mod h bar, because modulo h bar, it's a commutative algebra. That's why this expression has a nice, once I divide by h bar, I can take the limit. And also, this does not depend on the choice of lifts of alpha and beta. So how are we going to implement this in our story? Well, we have to think about how we saw the commutator when we studied the canonical commutation relations. So in the factorization algebra story, or indeed in general, alpha hat at 0, sorry, this commutator, alpha hat, beta hat, is equal to
alpha hat at 0 times beta hat at epsilon minus alpha hat at 0 times beta hat at minus epsilon. So we're going to put alpha hat at 0, our beta hat at either epsilon or minus epsilon.
So we saw this before. This is how we computed the canonical commutation relations. And this is the physical meaning of the product in the algebra of observables. We do one thing, and then we do something else. So we can interpret this commutator. This commutator is equal to the obstruction to alpha hat of 0, beta hat of epsilon, being a continuous function of epsilon. So let me explain that more clearly. So let's assume that there's no Hamiltonian for simplicity, although it's not necessary. Then d by d epsilon beta hat of epsilon is equal to 0. So this product, this is some quantity which is constant except constant in the region where epsilon is not equal to 0. So what functions look like that? There's two of them. So it can be written as as something independent of epsilon, times some operators, plus something which looks like the delta function where epsilon is positive, or the delta function where epsilon is negative, or I like to do it like this. They're just different bases for this two-dimensional space. I'll take the difference between the delta functions when epsilon is positive and negative. So the obstruction to being continuous at epsilon equals 0 is this term. If this term is the commutator. So this structure is what we would like to analyze in general. What is the obstruction to the product of two operators being continuous at the origin? That's a structure called the semiclassical OPE, and it will give us our Poisson bracket. Okay. Any questions? Well, what functions are constant when epsilon is not equal to 0? It's like it can be 1 or any constant value.
Or is it just like secretly there's a constant?
Yeah, there's a constant, but this is, I'm writing down a basis of the two-dimensional space of such functions. Yeah, so like it'd be C1 and C2. This is...
I meant different constants on the...
Here?
Yeah.
Oh, here, so like, I have a two-dimensional space of functions. I can always change this constant by adding to it a multiple of this one. So you can choose this basis element in a number of ways, and I like this one. Because it matches the commutator. Okay, so. So we'll write this down in general. In general, we need a little notation. We let C omega of or n minus 0 be the collection of real analytic functions. And C omega plus or n, so or minus 0, equals the subspace of real analytic functions, which extend to a continuous function. On all of our n. So for example, here, you know, e.g. or log or is a perfectly nice element in that space. It's not real analytic at the origin, but it's continuous at the origin. So the theorem is consider any classical field theory and we let classical observables sub zero be the collection of point observables. Here we are taking cohomology. So we're not working at the cochain level today, mostly. Then there exists a map I call it the OPE bracket. From takes two point observables to and gives you a new point observable tensor a real analytic function modulo one which is continuous at the origin. And this bracket is the QFT analog of the Poisson bracket. It's one of the QFT analogs of the Poisson bracket. There are several. And the important thing about this map, well, there's a couple, it has nice and nice properties. This is a derivation in each factor, and a map of modules for the Lie algebra that translation Lie algebra or n But we have to bear in mind that this guy will also act on the last factor. I think there's some sign issue. There's some non-standard sign, if I remember correctly, in the way that this acts. So I don't quite remember that. It's not important. And how is it defined? So it's defined as follows. So if we have, if y don't by obs q, quantize the observables of a quantization define mod h bar squared. And if I take 2, 0, 1, 0, 2 to be classical point observables, 0, 1 hat, 0, 2 hat lifts to quantum point observables. What we're going to do is define the factorization product of these guys and check if it extends across the origin. Everything okay? So I'll draw a little picture. So this big radius will be S, and the small radius will be R. And here's another disk of radius R centered at X. So O hat 1 of 0 is in quantum observable of a disk of radius R around the origin for all R. O hat 2 of X is a quantum observable in the disk of radius R around X, again for all R. So their product is a quantum observable on the disk of radius S. Now, I think what values is X allowed to take? So at first sight, you might think this is for all X not too close to 0. And something like X less than S minus 4. Because you don't want this to hit this boundary or to hit this disk. But because this works for all values of R, we can actually do better. This is defined for all values of X, except the origin. For all X not equal to 0, and with X less than S. Okay, now this product O at 1 times O at 2 of X extends across
x equals 0 modulo h bar.
So you can show this is actually not completely trivial, but intuitively clear, that the failure to extend across x equals 0 is in, well, it's, again, the claim is it has a real analytic coefficients, and then, again, its coefficients are point observables. So it's in h-bar times that. My writing got messed up. So what we're going to do, we define the Poisson bracket to be the limit as h-bar goes to 0 of the failure of it to extend across the origin. So it's the limit h-bar goes to 0 of 1 over h-bar of the obstruction to extending a 1, 0 hat times O2 hat x across x equals 0. This is all just a fancy way to say it's the singular terms in an expansion for small x. Okay, any questions?
In order to define this classical structure, you first have to quantize and then take classical limit. Is there any purely classical way of deriving this?
I feel it's the same. I mean, I feel like this is the best way to see the physical importance of the Poisson bracket as well, even in classical mechanics. I mean, if you're worried that it turns out not to depend on the choice of quantization, but I feel like this is the real meaning of it. It's the first order deformation away from classical. Yeah, I see your point, but.
So, like, for scalar field theory, except for quantizations exist, but I guess non-scalar field theory is the issue.
Yes, but so for something else, if you take some gauge theory, there might be some anomaly. There's some cohomology class telling you about the failure of it to exist. And these computations, like this definition is like insensitive to that. So it's okay. Even if the theory doesn't exist, this can still be beyond one loop. This can still be defined. But you probably wouldn't be very interested in it. Probably in the in the complex analytic case, maybe I can write that. That might make life. Easier, for example, if everything was holomorphic. The range of this map is of this bracket is the Dalvo cohomology of Cn minus the origin divided by the Dalvo cohomology of Cn tensored with classical observables. And this is actually the same, maybe up to some completion, as the compactly supported Dalvo cohomology. So this would be what you mean by local cohomology, right? So, but in general, it does not have such a nice description, I don't think. Okay, any other questions? It's 2E0. So let's do some examples. So consider a free scalar field theory, on Rn. So the field is, again, as before, and we let O be the observable which sends phi goes to phi of 0. So in the language you used earlier, O is equal to the observable associated to the delta function at 0. So we can ask, we can try to compute the bracket. And we're going to find that the OPE bracket is the identity observable times the Green's function, where g of x is the real analytic function which satisfies real analytic away from the origin, that the Laplacian of g of x is the delta function. So here's the proof. Let's consider the product of O delta of 0 times O delta of x. Now, O delta of 0, by this equation, the delta function is the Laplacian of something. I can make this cohomologically trivial with an O star based on that function. This is h bar times the quantum differential times O star of the Green's function. Therefore, I apply the quantum differential dq to O star of the Green's function, O delta of x. I get two terms, O delta of 0 times O delta of x, plus the other term involving integrating this with this, coming from the BV Laplacian. So that's the integral of the Green's function times the delta function of x. And if I integrate something against a delta function, I evaluate that thing at x. So that's O delta of 0, O delta of x, plus, so this has a h bar times the Green's function at x. So in cohomology, O delta of 0 times O delta of x is equal to minus h bar times the Queen's function of x. And that gives us our answer. Okay. So let's do a couple of other simple free examples and we'll see familiar structures. In one dimension, this structure of this Poisson bracket is the ordinary Poisson bracket. So, to do an example, let's do an example two to discuss this morning. So let's take complex fermions. Say, I'll write them psi lower I, psi upper I. A Lagrangian, psi upper I. And we find, we let O upper I be the observables, be the observable which sends, takes the value of psi I at 0, and O lower I be the observable which takes the value of psi upper I at 0. And then we can check that the Poisson bracket, O upper I, O lower j, is delta ij times the delta function that x is positive. So this is, again, the obstruction to being continuous. I'm going to pick up this dot. So I hope my notation is not too confusing. So where does this delta function come from? The key point is, is d by dx of the delta function that x is positive is equal to the delta function at x equals 0. Sorry, I call it t, or let me call it x. So this guy is the Green's function. So with a small amount of notational fiddling, the same argument applies. So let's do another example. If you do 2D chiral theories, in this case, the structure gives us a Poisson vertex algebra. And because it's chiral, it's the image lives in holomorphic functions on C star, modulo those that extend across the origin. So we can expand these in Ron series and find usual familiar structures from vertex algebras. So how do we do this? If we take a complex fermions, well, the Lagrangian looks like integral psi I d bar psi I, then because d bar of 1 over z
is the delta function of z equals 0
up to a factor of pi.
We have the OB bracket OI OJ is delta IJ times 1 over z.
Because this 1 over z plays the role of the Green's function. Okay, any questions? So these examples are all simple so far. And I wanted to say something about the normalization group flow.
Just to check, this means that I should always think when I see a Poisson vertex algebra, that even though it's a vertex algebra, it's still a classical object.
Yes.
And I should want to quantize it to a, like,
yes. Yes, a Poisson vertex algebra is a commutative algebra with a derivation and a bracket. And same here, these classical observables are commutative algebras with n derivations and a bracket. That's good. Okay. So it's fun to do computations with interacting theories where things become significantly less trivial. So let's consider the phi to the 4 theory. On OR4. So, in general, for any theory, there is a formula, a complicated formula, for this bracket. Which is given entirely in terms of the classical data. So the formula is as follows. If I take two observables, then O1, O2, OPE is given by a sum over trees, but only over some very special trees. Which are kind of linear. And I'll draw them. So the first vertex is O1. I'm out of a bunch of inputs. Then I'm going to put a propagator between 0 and L. Then I'm going to put my interaction. Then I'm going to put another interaction. I keep on going for an arbitrary number of times. And at the end, I put my other guy. And this is at x. And this one is at 0. Everything, the eyes have more than one input. Yeah, so we're not allowed to have things going off like that. So in a given theory, only finitely many terms contribute. And the answer is independent of L. Because if we change L, changes things by something with no poles. If we changes things by a quantity, which is regular at x equals 0. Okay, so we're going to take this on faith. You can actually kind of derive this by similar manipulations. That's what we've done. But let's do some examples. So in the 5-4 theory on OR4, we let O be the functional as before, which sends phi to phi of 0. So this is the local operator which generates the algebra, classical local operators. Then, so we can compute O OPE as, well, the first diagram looks like this, and I have the propagator. This is at 0, this is at x. Then I have something with one interaction in the propagator. And it turns out the other terms don't contribute in this example. So this, if you really care, you can stare at the other term and look, does my, you know, what you have to do is each term can be written as some explicit integral. Then I look, does that integral make sense when I set x to 0? And the more vertices I have, the more convergent the integral turns out to be. And then you can check that if I have two vertices in the middle, the integral converges at x equals 0. So let's do the first diagram first. So this one is just, this is going to be, of course, the term we already know about given by the Green's function. So this is because O is just the operator which sends a field to its value at a point. So this is simply the integral of 0 to L of kt of 0 x dt. So that's, you know, t to the minus 2 e to the minus x squared over t dt. So this looks like x to the minus 2, some factors of pi, which I'm ignoring, plus terms which are continuous at x equals 0. And if you remember, this is the Green's function. So this is, of course, the right answer, the one we derived before in a different way. So the interesting one is the second diagram. So let me draw the diagram again. So in any Feynman diagram, we're going to have to integrate over a copy of Rn, space-time, for each vertex. Well, here, only these interior vertices are integrated over, so I have one interior vertex divided by x prime. So this diagram contributes the integral over x prime in R4. Here, I'm going to put, I have the integral over T1, T2, between 0 and L. Here, I'm going to put the heat kernel from 0 to x prime. Here, I'm going to put the heat kernel from T1, x prime, to x. And it's all a function of the exterior fields which go on these external lines. So that's phi of x prime squared. So I'm not sure how much detail to go into here, but we can show that this is the logarithm of the absolute value of x times phi of 0 squared plus terms continuous at x equals 0. So let me briefly sketch how you do that. So we write phi of x prime as a sum of the value of phi at 0 plus some other quantity, phi 1 of x prime, where phi 1 of x prime is equal to 0 at x prime equals 0. And then we expand. So if we expand phi of x prime squared, terms which involve phi 1 of x prime are more convergent. Because the integrand is smaller. And it turns out that they don't contribute. If you think about the integral for a minute, so we're left with phi 0 squared times the integral 1 t2 integral x prime k t1 0 x prime k t2 x prime x. And now, because the heat kernel, this is the convolution of the heat kernel with itself as another heat kernel. This is like phi 0 squared times some integral of t1, t2 of the heat kernel t1 plus t2, 0x. And if you fiddle around with this integral, this looks like phi 0 squared log x plus regular. Okay. So I'll pause 1 second. So let me just write out the sum of the calculation you've sketched. Looks like 1 over x squared
plus O squared log x. So we see the interaction term has this kind of amusing effect of introducing the a logarithmic correction to the OPE, and we can really see, like, very explicitly this, the structure of the factorization algebra beyond classical. Okay, any questions? This, both sides live in classical observables, which are point observables, kind of the field and its derivatives, tensor, analytic functions on 04 minus 0, divided by those which extend across the origin. Okay, any other questions? So for your homework today, I wanted you to do another example, which I think is kind of even more interesting. So if we have real fermions, as we've seen, chiral complex fermions, Psi I, then we have this kind of OPE. If I take the observables for them, it's like delta ij times 1 over z. If we consider, so this should be very familiar to many people because this is just a vertex algebra, the classical limit of a vertex algebra. If we have anti-chiral fermions, we have OI bar, O bar j, with OP, OI, O bar J looks like delta IJ, 1 over Z bar. So many 2D CFTs are obtained by tensoring something chiral and anti-chiral and deforming. It can be hard to get your hands on that kind of thing, so I'll give you an example where you can see this explicitly. If we have chiral plus the anti-chiral, are deformed by an interaction integral psi I, psi j, psi bar k, psi bar l, and J L I K, M is some tensor. Then the one loop OPE is deformed by psi I, psi j becomes M I J L K psi bar K psi bar L. So the product of the, you know, the bracket between two psi's becomes two psi bars. So their chiral and anti-chiral things are all really honestly mixed up. And there's some factor here which I think it's like Z bar over Z log. Thank you.
So this can be computed by the same kinds of techniques, and it's associated to this diagram. Here's my interaction, and here's psi j. My psi bars go in there. That was the homework, was to compute the integral you get by studying this diagram and find a term that looks like that. So I started this lecture by saying that we wanted to understand the Ortiz flow and scale invariance. Yes, I mean, this, what I'm calling the bracket, contains the data that people might call the one loop OPE. It's only order H bar effects. So, say in the Phi 4 theory, is there an or scaling action on the fields that preserves all the structures. So we would expect that there should not be, because a one loop, the theory fails to be a fixed point. So let's check this. The classical observables is the algebra generated by, it's the algebra with four commuting derivations. Generated by a single symbol O, subject to the sum dxi squared O plus O cubed is equal to 0. So, to make this work, this guy should give O weight 1 for this relation to be preserved. But if I compute the bracket, this looks like 1 over x squared. So this is good, because if this is weight 1, this also was weight 1 under our conventions. And this is bad. Right, so without the logarithmic term, it's fine. If it's just O squared, that will be fine. So that is weight 2. But the log term spoils it, because the OR action acts on x as well. This gets sent to plus plus log lambda. So we've like, this is slightly vague, but we've sketched why the quantum factorization algebra cannot be a fixed point. This action. So this is another derivation of the thing we did before, of why the 5-4 theory flows. But now I was trying to explain it only by studying the structure on the factorization. Okay, so I'll stop there.
No questions. Let's go to lunch.